Welcome to the mini-sode, Laura.
Hello, so excited to share on this detailed topic.
So we didn't get to it in the main interview, but I want to know about biofilm, and I think you said ropeworm?
Yes. So there's so many different types of parasites. We've heard of roundworms and flukes and tapeworms and all of this type of thing. But in the last 10 years, there's become much more awareness on what is being called a ropeworm. And so some say it's a parasite, some say it's not a parasite. So it's not really technically a parasite. However, the stuff that leaves the body sure looks like it could be a parasite. So people want to call it a parasite. So we'll call it a ropeworm because that's what it's being called. But it is also a biofilm. So it is, again, not technically one. It's very common today. I can't give you numbers, but I don't know if I could say 80% of us might have some biofilm going in us. Mm. And when it's been DNA tested, it's a very sticky mucus-like substance that when it comes out, sometimes if people do coffee enemas, they could maybe see some of this. I had mentioned that the particular herb Mimosa pudica, really exceptional for helping to release this biofilm. But when they've done DNA testing, they have found it has viral, it has Lyme, it's got bacterial components, all of those in it. It's not one thing. So it is actually a community of these organisms, part viral, Lyme, bacterial, that have learned to live together in this mucus-like substance, and it can move throughout the body. So it can even hold parasitic eggs in there. So it's really a mucus-like substance of all of this. And it really does impact health. So many, whether autism, and I did not say that before, but autism is also an area we commonly find parasites play a very big role. Lessening this biofilm load or ropeworm load brings dramatic help and health benefits for many. Could be just Lyme, could be dealing with autism, seizures, any number of things. And so I said the one herb that's really exceptional there for it. And what I'll also share is an advanced enema protocol. This is for the advanced folks that want to really go further. And it's this Professor Gubarev, G-U-B-A-R-E-V. He first identified these ropeworms many years ago. And then Professor Alex Walensky of Florida, currently, he also does a lot of research on it. So there's a few protocols. You would look up the names Gubarev and Walensky, read about these, because you're going to read and learn for yourself, because it's going to take great thought, some preparation to do these protocols where you are retaining some things. As I shared before, dairy is a big deal when it comes to parasites. So dairy can even be used to tease the parasites out of the tissues and pull them into the gut. So come back out of that heart, come out of the lungs, come out of the liver, you know, come out of the sinuses, get back into the gut, and then use some herbals thereafter. So it's some very advanced enema protocols and, you know, holding enemas a lot longer than anyone's ever held an enema. But this protocol, the Gubarev protocol, can really do amazing work for addressing these ropeworms or biofilms. So it's worth people reading about and considering, is this for me?
Have you had some clients use that protocol?
I have not had any clients use that protocol yet, nor have I. Not saying I'm opposed to it, but it literally takes time. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have a few hours in a day to actually do it on that day. And it's kind of a graduated protocol. You know, you do that first type, Then you'd wait a bit, a day or two or such. You could do another type, but you really have to graduate to where you can actually hold that particular one for 2 hours.
Wow.
Before you graduate. So it really, you know, it's not saying you have to take a week of vacation, but no, seriously, perhaps. I mean, it's, you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But it's a tool to be aware of.
Well, and I wanted to ask you on a personal note, do you often do cleanses that are less intense or less advanced, or do you simply do all the things you said earlier in the episode about avoiding being a good host, trying to be a bad host that shores up your body in a way that you don't worry about parasites that much anymore?
Sure. So I love all the nutrient-dense food, the fermented foods, the yogurts, you know, supporting liver health, bile health. Yep, do that all. And then in good fortune, somewhere 20 years ago, I got to go on a juice fast retreat with a woman who had recovered herself from lupus. All organs were shutting down. Doctors told her she had really not much time left to live. And here she was, you know, I don't know, 10 years later. So this was 20 years ago, you know, teaching about juice fasting. So learned about coffee enemas there. So I've been making use of coffee enemas for a couple decades.
Wow.
So I just have not advanced to the Gubarev protocol. If I needed to, I definitely would. Mm-hmm. But again, logistically, you know, it could really be true. You almost need to take a week or two of vacation to do it.
Yeah. And as you were saying in the longer form interview, people need to pay attention to what their symptoms are, consult with some folks that can help them analyze the best approach and, you know, not just take something on because they think, I must have parasites, I'm going to do all these things. It's better to be wise about it, because I imagine some of these protocols could be quite intense for the body.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I do herbals as needed, you know, like kind of spot on as to what needs to get used. So no, I'm doing herbals as needed.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And it would be so wise, really, all of us to once or twice a year, do a parasite cleanse. But again, if you're in the category of chronic health issues, or you're weak, or, you know, digestion isn't working, or any of those more advanced things, like, you know, seek help of someone. But it really is worthy. And I think many traditional cultures had this built in.
Talk to me about the parasite cleanse. You said it would be good for us to do it once or twice a year. Which kind are you referring to?
Herbal, using some of those herbs I described. But again, just pay attention to everything else I said, in that your bowels need to be open. You have to have good bile flow, so support the liver. You need to have addressed your heavy metals. You know, take into account all that, then yes, you know, do an anti-parasitic herbal protocol once or twice a year. And then I'll share another one here in this mini-zode, is that Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and she's got a protocol she's developed using pine gum, pine oil, pine gum extract, pine gum spirits. So go to her website, which would be called vitalitycycles.com, and you must read all about it. Because you're not just, I wouldn't give you the dosing, because you're going to read and learn, because you have to use this stuff with awareness, perfect awareness. But that pine gum, pine oil, is amazing for releasing parasites. So it couples in with sugar, you use sugar to attract it, pine gum to kill, but you have to do all your reading, your bowels have to be open, you have to, you know, follow the instructions and be very aware. And again, if you're a chronic health person, this, you're not going to jump into doing this. That would be way too much to do at the start.
Got it. Thank you so much for that resource. And in closing, I want to ask, you said many traditional cultures included some kind of cleanse as part of their healthy lifestyle or healthy traditions. Do any come to mind?
Oh, yes. So this was, you know, 15 years ago, I'm at a gym, I would do yoga, and in the locker section I was in, there's this lovely Pakistani woman who I became friends with, and, you know, she was older than me, so I love traditional wisdom and all this stuff. So I don't know, I'd talk and ask her about foods and this and that. And one time I asked her for any like traditional wisdom things that her ancestors did or grandparents did or such, and or cleanses near the seasonal changes. She's like, oh yes, Laura, my grandmother, twice a year, I think they went to her house and they'd have to stay for a day or two. And she would give us this drink of neem. So the herb neem, N-E-E-M, she would give us this drink. It was so strong. Me and my brothers and sisters, we couldn't stand it. We had to drink the thing. And then she's like, we'd go to the bathroom so much that next day. And it was just like, I'm like, oh my gosh, amazing wisdom. So they just knew they had to do that at least twice a year. So it could have had more than neem in it, that she knew about that. But it sounded like it was a thick, potent, tough to get down thing, but they had to do it. So, you know, I love it because this was just a little tidbit, but I'm like, it's priceless wisdom because probably a good chance today the current grandmothers are not assigned to giving the neem juice to the grandchildren.
Oh, I hope that tradition and that wisdom isn't lost and you're a part of keeping it alive. So thank you for being a part of the main interview and this mini-sode. We're grateful for you, Laura.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Hilda, for all you do.